It's easy to get lost. This is The Revenue Maze, and I'm Valerie Cobb. Join me as we navigate the halls, dead ends, and U-turns on your path towards upward growth trajectory. The Revenue Maze is sponsored by Revenue North Star, guidance and execution through fractional revenue leadership, uncovering hidden revenues, and empowering small business growth through process-driven sales customized to your company environment.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another great episode of The Revenue Maze. I'm so excited about this guest. There's some roots that are near and dear to my heart. But first of all, he loves nature, loves hiking, an avid, obviously, a guitar player. So we'll get into that just a little bit. And at this point, I would love to just welcome Finner Pint, CEO of Treble Technologies.
Great. Hi, Valerie. Thanks so much for having me on board. I love that I'm here. I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
Yeah. This is going to be such a fun discussion because music obviously is near and dear to my heart for many, many reasons. And there are so many fabulous things that you are doing in the sound space. So anyways, and we'll get through that and weave the story and have a really good time today. But first of all, we always answer the same premise question, which is what is one thing that you can tell listeners and viewers that can help them get out of the revenue maze?
Right. That's a really good question. And there are many answers, no doubt, and many things to consider. But at least when you ask me this, then the first thing that comes to mind is really kind of solving problems, solving customers' problems, and not just kind of solving them, but solving them much, much better than what the solutions they have today can offer. So, you know, being 10 times better, I think that's a good kind of rule of thumb to keep in mind. If you're solving something 10 times better than what people are used to today, then it's kind of, in my experience, that's kind of, then they start getting interested. If it's just 2 times better, maybe not. So be 10 times better and really kind of obsess about your customers and their problems. And, you know, in my case, kind of, I was there for many years on the other side, kind of using these tools and so on. We can get into what we do and all that. And so I've really kind of been there, know the pains and frustrations, and then kind of coming and trying to solve them much better. So that's my recommendation. Of course, like I say, many other things to consider, go-to-market strategy, etc. But that's one thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring that up 10 times versus 2 times, because one of the things that we always say is the pain of same has got to be greater than the pain of change, right? Because we'll put up with 2 times, right? We'll not put up with 10 times, right? If it's really a pain point and you're solving that challenge, then the motivation for somebody to actually look at that as a solution, not just a nice to have, has got to be a lot more than just, hey, it's a little better, you know? Exactly. So anyways, exactly. But how, let's kind of dive into that, just 2 to 3 things, but how exactly, and we can weave kind of some of the cool stuff that you're doing into this storytelling, but at the end of the day, how exactly have you been able to quantify 10 times versus 2 times? I'm just curious about that. And you're an engineer, right. so we can get into the metrics.
I mean, yeah, that's a good, great question, you know, and in some cases, it's straightforward, like, you know, hey, I have a solution that takes, let's say a calculation, I need to do a calculation as an engineer, and it takes 100 seconds, and now comes a new solution that takes 10 seconds, and it's 10 times faster, you know, so in that sense, it's kind of straightforward. In other areas, it's much more nuanced, obviously, and kind of how you gauge performance increase or time saved or improved quality or things like that, that can be harder to gauge. So I don't have like a simple answer that covers everything. But, you know, in our case, it's been a lot about efficiency and kind of improving efficiency for our users. The way that they do things today is inefficient and time consuming, expensive, etc. And being able to address that And then, like I said, then it's kind of straightforward to get some metrics on that to show, hey, you save this much, you work this much faster, the quality improves by this. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the ways that sometimes people don't understand. So from the engineering side of the fence, which I am not one, so I don't even play one on TV, but I have worked with many engineers, especially in just different places like construction and heavy equipment. And there's different types of engineers as well, but they definitely find ways to measure what I would say is the measuring the qualification metrics. And I think that's kind of what you're talking about when you're saying, well, you can see the efficiency, but a lot of times when you get into companies, they'll go, well, I don't know how to tell that, you know, but for an engineer, that's like second nature. It's like, well, it has to be a little bit, you know, in this sense, louder or softer or in between. And you can actually measure, but then you built your company around some challenge in the industries that is very unique. So I actually am going to pull the trigger a little bit sooner on kind of what you guys do, but it's a unique industry, and it's really fun to have guests on my show that are coming forward with some very different ways of looking at things. And so I'd love for you to just share us a little bit, share with us a little bit about why you even went that direction, honestly, because it wouldn't have been something I would have thought of when I was ideating, right?
So right. Yeah. So, you know, Treble is working in the world of sound, like you said in the beginning. And my personal interest in sound comes from music, I think much like yours as well. And, you know, back in the day, I was kind of spending almost all of my time just obsessing about music and playing music and getting my guitar to sound as kind of weird and different as possible. And, you know, that was took all of my energy, and tried that for quite a few years. And, you know, it was a lot of fun, don't get me wrong. But at some point, I sort of I guess I realized that, you know, maybe I need to make a living, and
you gotta pay the bills. Yeah, all of us starving musicians learn that we gotta
pay the exactly. Exactly. Kinda have to grow up at some point or whatever. But
did you grow up? I'm curious.
I don't know. I don't know. Tell me that. No reason to do that. and then I kinda, you know, I was interested in all of this sound stuff, and, you know, like how does this guitar amplifier work, or this guitar effect, or the recording software, or all this stuff. So it kind of led me onto a path of engineering, and kind of what we call acoustics engineering, which is the science of engineering sound. And through that study line, I got to know kind of more than just music technology, and I got to into this field of acoustics, you know, and sound in buildings and so on, and ended up doing research on kind of sound simulation. And sound simulation, now I'm coming to what Treble is doing, which is essentially sound simulation. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, simulation is this concept of, you know, you have a computer model of something, and you can simulate how that thing is going to behave in reality. And it can be simulating, you know, wind outside, or how people behave, or structural dynamics, or whatever. But in our case, it's sound. So you have a 3D model of something, let's say a car, and you want to know how the car is going to sound.
Okay.
And that, you know, kind of the notion of simulating sound in computers, that's been around for many years, but doing that efficiently and effectively has not been possible to a good extent up until now, and that's what Treble is bringing to the table.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up a little bit, because one of the things that I have noticed is at first you went on this journey of, hey, you know, this is interesting, I got to grow up, all this kind of stuff. But then you found that there was a necessity, and everybody knows this, I'm a big fan of Matt Dixon and the Challenger sale methodology and the Challenger customer. And in that methodology, they have a use case for Xerox, which was pivoting from obviously people printing versus people creating digital copies versus a lot of other things. But one of the challenges that Xerox was up against is that transition to the digital world and still remaining viable. But also back in the day, most of our printing was black and white because color, first of all, was very expensive and you had to send it to obviously a print shop to get it done. And then of course, home printers. And you're going, Valerie, where the heck are you going with this? But in all reality, I am getting to a destination. But anyway, so they did a study and they found that children's grades and attention and everything went up in schools when information was in color versus black and white. So if they had print in black and white. And so they ended up with this entire use case to the education community of going to color. Had nothing to do with them personally, organization personally, but it did solve a challenge. Grades went up, all of those things. And the reason I'm bringing this home back to what you're doing is acoustically and the sound engineering and things like that. I think people underappreciate what that means. Like we get, if you watched a movie without, if just the actors acting and not the sound overlay and all of those things, emotionally, the impact is very, very small. It's kind of like, oh, it looks like a what we would say a grade school project, right? You know, it's a bunch of friends running around and pretending, you know, and that's it. And then all of a sudden you add the sound engineering to it. And then you do that in a digestible way so that other organizations can have it repeatedly, right? The implications are huge, not just in Hollywood or Bollywood or whatever you want, whatever country, you know, but testing how the sounds would be and some of those things are what I found so interesting about having you on as a guest. So I'm sure you've done some studies with that. You're an engineer. So tell us just a little bit about that, because I'm curious, you know, what you found on that.
Absolutely. You know, the first thing that popped to mind when you were describing that was exactly what George Lucas, the famous film director, said. He said, sound is at least 50% of the experience, you know, of the Star Wars movies. So indeed, kind of Hollywood and all of those things, you know, that's a nice example of where sound is super important. But, you know, like you're alluding to, just in kind of regular bread and butter, normal style buildings, for example, let's say take schools, hospitals, office buildings. There's been so much research done throughout the years that shows very kind of clearly and unequivocally that sound has a huge impact on people and how productive they are, how well they perform in schools, how fast they heal in hospitals. We see, you know, in cases where noise levels are high and so on in hospitals, that people use more pain medication. There's more cases of rehospitalization, longer time to recover, etc. It's really amazing how big of an impact it has. And like, you know, how much noise impacts people. It's something that people don't think about so much, but really kind of frightening statistics, like noise is the second most harmful environmental factor affecting human health, according to the World Health Organization, just after bad air quality. And like, I don't know how many millions of healthy life years are lost every year in Europe due to noise, according to the World Health Organization. So it's really, it has a huge impact. And this was kind of built environment examples, but the same goes, you know, for communication, like we're doing right now, you know, virtual meetings and things like this, you know, having poor sound quality really fatigues the brain. That's been shown that as well. So, this concept of Zoom fatigue, which kind of came about after COVID, where people were sitting in virtual meetings all day and just kind of wiped after the day, has been shown to be linked to the sound and kind of how it's not the same as being in a real meeting room, being on Zoom and so on. So,
And, you know, it's interesting because if we were to take a journey and people would close their eyes, I think they would connect immediately with what you just said, right? Because we all know that a very negative sound makes us just tense, right? And yeah, even the recording that we're doing right now, we do special mics, so it sounds like that FM DJ voice, you know, kind of do it, right? But I remember years of practicing, and as a singer, if the acoustics in the room were wrong, it affected how you sang, how well you did. You know, you immediately lost confidence or gained confidence with that. And rewinding, and it dates me, I'm sorry, but back in the old cassette where you would just record and then you'd listen to yourself and you're like, well, that sounds terrible. I never want to talk again on anything, you know, and then realizing, oh, well, that was not quite the shower acoustics, right? We all say we can sing in the shower, right?
Right.
When you were messing around with your guitar, it was the same thing. You were trying to make different sounds for different reasons, but wow, super exciting. Yeah. Super exciting. So how did you talked a little bit about your guitar? I think you mentioned that your dad's an engineer. So how did you get here besides just the guitar? Let's talk about that, and then we'll talk a little bit about Iceland and some hiking.
That sounds good. Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, you know, I did this study. I studied acoustics engineering, and then I went back into the industry and was working as what's called an acoustic consultant. So my role was to help architects design buildings and make sure that they would sound good. And, you know, and I'm not, of course, we did like music venues and concert halls and so on. And that's important to have good acoustics in those. But mostly we're talking about office buildings, schools, hospitals, these kind of bread and butter style buildings. And during that time, did this for a few years, I sort of really came kind of frustrated with a lack of tools to be able to do this, to be able to know, you know, is this design actually going to be okay or not? Be able to showcase it to stakeholders, to architects or the building owner, like here, you know, if you go for this solution, your building is going to sound like this, versus if you spend a little more money, then it's going to sound like this, you know, and not having any tools to be able to do this. We're talking about what I talked about in the beginning, kind of obsessing about the customer problems. You know, now I was very obsessed with my problems as an engineer in the industry at that time. And then I got an opportunity to go back to school and do a PhD on researching technology to essentially address this very problem. And that was very fun. Did that for a few years. And we just ended up with a kind of promising prototype of a technology that allows you to do this, to simulate the sound, to know if the design is good or not, to be able to hear the building, walk around in it, look around in a virtual model and also hear it. Yeah. And then we decided to form a startup around that and turn this kind of, let's say, academic prototype into a product. So that's sort of how it came about. And in the beginning, we were, you know, very much thinking about the building industry. You know, we wanted to do a piece of software for architects and engineers to be able to design sound in buildings. And that remains an important part of what we do. But then we also sort of slowly started realizing that having the ability to simulate sound has use cases beyond just building design. So we worked a lot with, you know, consumer electronics, automotive industry, virtual experiences and so on, where it's all, you know, also beneficial to be able to simulate sound.
Yeah, because you think of let's just talk about the efficiency just in the construction industry alone. Let's just take a church. How many churches have to be redesigned because they screwed up how their musicians would work out in their halls?
Absolutely.
Or how many hospitals or any kind of sensitive kind of environment have had to redesign over and over and over again because they didn't even realize that the sound was causing part of what that was. You know, you've got an architect who's drawing something and then, oh wait, what does the sound seem like? What happens? Are you in a I can imagine, are you in Dubai in a busy, bustling city? What kind of apartment complex do you build? What kind of, you know, and yeah. And then going on beyond what you were saying, even with some of the music and everything else, but it's super cool stuff that you're working through. So anyways, now's the fun part too. I mean, you're a big nature fan and you love hiking and all of that. And you're probably doing your day job to do your play job. Right? Although you get to play while you're, you know, but
absolutely love my job. But yeah,
what's your favorite hike?
Ah, that's a good question. Yeah, you know, that's one of the benefits of living in Iceland is that we have so much access to so much of, let's say, unspoiled nature. That's and I would say the best way to explore Iceland is to go out there and hike. And like, I would say maybe 90, I think it's something like 90% of the country's area is uninhabited. And it's even kind of hard to access it during winter. But then during summer, there's just endless of kind of, well, not endless, but let's say a lot of area of kind of unspoiled nature that you can explore. Take the tent on your back and walk for 4 or 5 days. It's an amazing feeling. For example, in the West Fjords in Iceland, which is, yeah, that's probably my favorite area to hike.
I bet it's a bucket list. I mentioned that before. It's a bucket right. list. And a lot of the name can be deceiving because if you've ever watched the travel channels, I mean, when they show Iceland, it's like, oh my gosh, that is so incredibly beautiful. And definitely want to get there someday.
Right.
For sure. Well, tell me one mentor that you had.
Wow, great question. I've had a few great mentors. I think the first name that popped to mind, his name is Jakob Strömann. He's a partner at Henning Larsen. Henning Larsen is an architect firm, one of the big architect firms in Scandinavia. Uh-huh. And he's partner there and director of their innovation and sustainability. And he was really involved in my research when we were sort of developing this originally, because we did it in collaboration with Henning Larsen. And he is just an inspirational guy, and he's so good at kind of connecting, let's say, kind of research and complicated stuff with reality and real world problems. That was really needed for me during this research work, you know, because it's easy when you're doing academic research to just kind of focus on research for research's sake. But he kind of kept pulling me back to reality and kind of, you know, we have this problem right now. We're always designing buildings and we don't know anything about how they sound in the beginning. And we make all the design choices in the early stages without thinking about sound at all. So, you know, we need to focus on this problem. And and I've been very fortunate to work with him ever since the research. So he's involved in Treble, is a member of our board. And great guy.
Very cool. Very cool. And what's next for you guys? What's on the radar?
Right. So we launched our first product actually just early this year. So we're still kind of a rather new company. We've been around for 3 years. So there's really kind of exciting times ahead. We're putting out our second product now in the fall, which is more. So the first product was tailored towards building design. The next one is more tailored towards, consumer electronics, audio hardware design and things like that. And we have some really kind of exciting pilot customers. Many of the big tech companies, we're working with them these days. So yeah, kind of continuing this growth, releasing this second product, new funding round, scaling. Yeah, exciting times ahead.
That sounds super exciting. And I'm super excited to watch it grow for sure. So tell us, kind of listeners and viewers, tell us one place they can get a hold of you.
You can certainly find me on LinkedIn. That's probably the best bet. I'm very kind of, I really love it when people engage there and reach out to me there. So LinkedIn is probably the best option. Treble also has a website, obviously, that you can get a hold of Treble and me through the website. So yeah, those are two options.
Oh, it's a fun website, and it's super cool there. And we will obviously list all of that in the notes. But yeah, this has been really fun learning more about you, your organization, how it came into being. Obviously, in the United States, it would be very exciting. I don't know if you're coming this way sometime soon, but it would be super exciting to kind of see what you guys are all up to. And I'm just grateful so much for you being on the show, and for the listeners and viewers also. Thank you so much. Share some love. Yeah, maybe we could get Finner to play his guitar if you shared some love. I'm just kidding. At the end, we'll have that instead of Rachmaninoff at the beginning. Anyway, thank you again, Finner, for being on the show today.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a wonderful chat. Thank you so much.
Thank you all for joining another great episode. Hats off to all you small businesses out there. I can't wait for the next episode.